call to post means it's time for Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. We're talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from Virginia, around the Mid-Atlantic, and across the country. Off to the Races is powered by the Racing Biz, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Find them at www.theracingbiz.com. Now here's your host with Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network.
And hey, good morning, everybody, and a happy Saturday to you. Saturday, the 23rd of March. The sun is out. How about that? The sun is out. Haven't seen that in a couple of days, it feels like. Thanks so much for spending a little bit of your Saturday with us here on Off to the Races. My name is Frank Vespi, and we're going to be talking thoroughbred racing and breeding in Virginia, across the Mid-Atlantic, and around the country. Got a fun show lined up today. We're going to have Jill Burns from Colonial Downs in. We're going to have Paul Espinosa from Charlestown, of course, Derby Bill Watson, Nick Hahn. So a lot of good stuff going on here on our show today. Off to the Races is powered by The Racing Biz. Check us out online, www.theracingbiz.com. You can get our free mobile app. You can also find us on social media. We're all over the social web, and you can find us at The Racing Biz. And today, online at the website, theracingbiz.com, we are hosting a free handicapping contest featuring Laurel Park and a couple of races from the fairgrounds. So if you got a little bit of time, come join us. A lot of fun. We always have fun with the handicapping contests. And what the heck, they're free, so you can't beat the price. Speaking of handicapping contests, today's show is presented by the Virginia Thoroughbred Association and the Virginia Equine Alliance. They are helping to make Virginia racing history. And those good folks are hosting a series of Road to the Derby handicapping contests. Today's stops are at Ponies and Pints in Richmond and at the Windmill in Martinsville. Each of them has $1,000 in cash prizes up for grabs. So if you're in the Richmond or Martinsville areas, you're definitely going to want to check those out. You'll learn more about them at virginiahorseracing.com. And again, if you can't get there, check out our free contest at theracingbiz.com. Like I said, a lot to do today, but before we get into all that, let's take a quick look back at the week that was. And last weekend saw the Grade Two Rebel Stakes at Oaklawn. That's a prep for the Kentucky Derby. It's the last stop before the track's featured Arkansas Derby. This year's Rebel was split into two divisions to accommodate horses from Santa Anita. And California-based trainer Bob Baffert, he was the conditioner of the last two Triple Crown winners. He had the favorite in both divisions of the Rebel. In the first division, his runner Improbable was upset as the 2-5 favorite. In the second, he sent out Game Winner. Game Winner was last year's two-year-old champion. He went off as the 1-2 favorite. But it was not going to be his day either. Andrew, could you hit us with the audio of Omaha Beach?
They run to the top of the stretch. Omaha Beach is in front. He has a two-length lead on Game Winner, who has to go right now. Omaha Beach, past mid-stretch, now a length and a half. Game Winner trying to gun him down on the money, and Rosario says it's game time. Here's game time outside Omaha Beach. Game Winner, Omaha Beach, right together in Omaha Beach. I think he turned him away.
Under jockey Mike Smith, Omaha Beach took over after a half mile, opened up a two-length lead, and then had just enough to hold off Game Winner's late charge to win by a neck in 1:42.2 for a mile and a 1/16. Omaha Beach is trained by Richard Mandela for Rick Porter's Fox Hill Farms. Porter paid $625,000 for the son of Warfront. He's out of the Seeking the Gold mare, Charming. He's a half-brother to the millionaire Take Charge Brandy. Omaha Beach now has two wins from six career starts, never been out of the money. He's earned over $520,000. He's won two straight, and the victory gave him 37.5 points on the Kentucky Derby leaderboard. That puts him in seventh place, probably gives him enough to be in the starting gate the first Saturday in May. Meanwhile, closer to home, another three-year-old, Always Mining, dominated the Private Term Stakes. Could you give us that audio, please, Andrew?
Tybalt driven at the rail from third position. Red Gum out wide there in fourth. Then it's Still Dreaming in fifth. 3/16 left to go. Looks like the distance is no problem at all for Always Mining. Always Mining kept to task, opening up a half dozen. On Jovi is second, and Tybalt third. Always Mining wants to run all day. Always Mining to win it by 6 or 7.
In his first try around two turns, Always Mining led throughout, went on to win by almost 7 lengths in 1:42.3 for a mile and 16th. It was his 6th career win, 5th straight. He's been a busy boy. That was his 4th win in stakes company, pushed his earnings to more than $300,000. He's a Maryland-bred son of Stay Thirsty. He's trained by Kelly Rubley and was ridden to the win by regular pilot Daniel Santino. Danny came up from Tampa Bay Downs, where he's been riding for the winner to ride this horse, which tells you pretty much what he thinks about Always Mining. Always Mining is owned by Runnymede Racing, who purchased him privately after his maiden breaking score. Next up for Always Mining, if they stay on the conservative route, which is what they have taken to date, he'll probably run in the Federico Tessio Stakes at Laurel next month, and that would be followed by, if all goes well, a try in the Preakness. But if they want to take a swing with him, and he certainly appears to be good enough that it's worth at least considering taking a swing, then they might head to either the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct or the Bluegrass at Keeneland. And if that goes well, that might provide him a spot in the Kentucky Derby. So Always Mining gets good right now. This week's Derby Trail is going to take us to New Orleans with the Grade 2 Louisiana Derby on tap, and also to New Mexico where the Grade 3 Sunland Derby, that takes place tomorrow. We're going to be talking plenty more Derby a little bit later on in the show when the man, myth, and legend Derby Bill Watson joins us along with Nick Hahn. A bit later, we're also going to have Charlestown track announcer Paul Espinosa to catch up on goings-on there. But right after the break, you want to stick around for this. Jill Byrne, the new head of racing at Colonial Downs, going to stop by. You're listening to Off to the Races Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Ads for beds stuffed into boxes are everywhere, thanks to online mattress companies. But when you order a mattress from the original mattress factory, it won't come shrink-wrapped and squeezed into a tiny box. It won't be dropped off on your porch by your mailman either. That's because our mattresses are hand-built, right here in your hometown, using American-made steel innersprings, cotton padding, and shock-absorbing box springs. You can't fit that kind of quality into a box. Purchase online at originalmattress.com or stop by one of our stores to see the original mattress factory difference for yourself.
Attention! If you have bad credit, you're probably routinely turned down for loans or financing. Safe Credit's team of FICO-certified professionals could help no matter how bad it's gotten. We'll examine your credit report and help you get it back to where you want it, allowing you to qualify for that new car, house, or credit card. We'll create an affordable month-to-month plan for you to repair your credit effectively. Some clients have seen results in as few as 30 to 45 days. Call 855-781-6910. 855-781-6910. 855-781-6910.
Great moments in tournament history are presented by Lexus of Richmond.
Westwood One presents Great Moments in Tournament History.
FGC who? The weekend we all found out about Dunk City. Next.
A strong work ethic takes pride in a job well done. This is you. But to get an honest day's work, you need a callback. You need a job. Express Employment Professionals can help. We'll connect you to the right company. We're committed to your success and never charge a fee to find you a job. Express knows jobs. Get to know Express. Find your location at expresspros.com or on the Express Jobs app.
Hey, Dave, what's with the dry erase board?
We've got so much to do before we open for the day, so I'm diagramming our game plan.
You just wrote help me and X's and arrows.
I know. We need help.
Here's a plan. Call CentOS. They'll check our fire extinguishers, stock our first aid cabinets, course, deliver
no
great
prop.
Looking uniforms.
Call CentOS. Great plan.
Oh, I'm ready!
Get CentOS and get ready for the workday.
There are bracket busters, and then there are the FGCU Eagles, the ultimate bracket busters. Before March of 2013, the small
what type of music do you like,
wasn't
Frank?
On anybody's radar for basketball, but in 48 hours in Philly, that all changed. They stunned Georgetown in the second round, and then 2 days later against San Diego State, served up an encore performance.
Baradell throws for Comer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like all types of music. I like hip-hop first and foremost. Yeah. But I got some good, like, kind of middle-of-the-road alt-rock songs.
For the first time ever, a 15th seed advanced to the Sweet 16. Florida Gulf Coast's phenomenal run ended the following
Metallica.
Week, but their style of play and Cinderella story sure gave us some great moments in tournament history.
All right, here we go.
Covering our local teams with a local passion.
We're dedicated to the most sports talk for true RVA sports fans. 99.5 and 102.7 ESPN.
Welcome back, everybody. Off to the Races Radio here on a Saturday morning. Very happy to be joined at this time by our first guest. Jill Byrne is the new VP of Racing at Colonial Downs, helping to make thoroughbred racing a reality once again in the Old Dominion. Jill, welcome to the program. I want to kind of dive right in with this question. You are a Virginia native. You grew up in the Charlottesville area. What's it been like for you to come back to Virginia and be part of this team that's in the process of bringing live thoroughbred racing back here?
Oh, well, I mean, it's great to come home. I've lived in Kentucky for, I guess, 29 years and love Kentucky. It's our neighboring state, and it's been an amazing second home for me. So, absolutely love the Kentucky area as well, but to come home to Virginia is always home, and all my family lives in Charlottesville. I went to UVA, so it's just great to come back. I know what the horse industry means to the state of Virginia and all the people that invested so much into horse racing, from owners and breeders and trainers and farms, and everybody that was impacted when Colonial stopped racing. So it's an honor to be a part of something that means so much to the community, to the state, to the horse industry, something so positive in today's news when, a racetrack is returning to live racing and investing in live racing as well. So it's an honor to come home and be a part of something that's really, just amazing when you think of what we're doing at Colonial and bringing live racing back to a state that really loves it.
I've got to ask you, as a UVA grad, were you sweating it out a little bit at halftime in the NCAA game last night?
Yes. When I liken them. I was texting with my daughter, Devin, in Charlottesville, and I said, they remind me right now of Mind That Bird in the Derby. Drop way back out of it and make this run at the end. But that's not going to work if they keep doing that as the competition keeps getting better and better. So, yes, definitely worried. I tend to turn it off, go find something else to do, and then peek back in and see how they're doing.
Well, I'm glad for you guys that they managed to do the full Mind That Bird yesterday and get to the front before the wire. Talk about for a moment. You sort of mentioned this, but what is your sense? What does it mean to people? What does it mean to Virginia to have Colonial coming back to life now, 6 years after its seeming demise?
Well, it's kind of a broad reach, isn't it? Not only you start immediately with the effect it has on the horsemen that used to race there before and those that, it supported through that. It's a turf course that is second to none in the country, as everybody raves about. I mean, it's just beautiful, beautiful turf course, the widest in the country. Such a great, safe course. It's well-maintained. It is the talk of the country when people come there to race on that course. It can handle a lot of weather. It can handle a lot of racing, extremely safe surface. So that's exciting for people, especially now. Turf racing has always been popular, but now it seems like the last 5 years, it's really taken a massive upward swing in America, people buying and breeding specifically for turf racing. So that's exciting. The main track always got overlooked by the turf course, but it's a fantastic main track as well. So people sometimes ask me, do you have dirt racing there? I'm like, yes, of course you do. And we'll have a strong stakes program on the dirt. But for the state of Virginia, as I mentioned, with the history of the horse industry in Virginia, thoroughbred racing pretty much started on the shores there of Virginia. But all the people that when it closed, you know, it had an effect on not just the horsemen, but the community that supported it, people that came out there, people that, you know, it trickles down to people that, you know, sell feed there and hay and bedding. And, you know, it has a big reach in the people that work in the mutuals and, you know, work in the facility. So it had, I think, a big impact on not only horsemen, but the community. So for, you know, as I mentioned, when you and I talked previously, for the groups that stuck with it and jumped in to keep Virginia horse racing alive, so to speak, during that time, the VEA, Jeb Hanum, Debbie Easter, and all of that team there, so instrumental in keeping, you know, racing with the OTBs and just a constant push to get this back and done. Frank Petromalo with the VHBPA, the VRC, the Virginia Racing Commission, so many people that were instrumental in keeping, you know, kind of just the racing going without actually having live racing in Virginia, and then instrumental in getting, you know, Colonial Downs back and with the new ownership group. So it's much more than just new ownership taking over Colonial. It's a huge team effort that's made this happen.
Talking with Jill Byrne, the VP of Racing at Colonial Downs. And Jill, I'm going to want to ask you in a moment about sort of what the shape of the racing program is going to be. But I want to touch on something else first, which is, you know, as you know, we've had Tim Ritvo on this program previously and Sal Sinatra and some talk about some of the safety issues. You know, the situation at Santa Anita has obviously been one of great concern to people in and out of the racing industry. And I wanted to ask you, what are some of the things that you guys want to do at Colonial to ensure the safety of the horses and the riders and everyone connected with the sport?
Yeah, you know, this has just been, it's more than, you know, having the effect at just Santa Anita. And people know this is a very competitive industry, but when an issue like this happens, it affects all of us. So we certainly support and feel for the horsemen and management out at Santa Anita and applaud what they're doing now with safety initiatives and taking the lead on that. And we intend to do the same. And we've already put a lot of that into effect with preparing the surface. Since it hasn't been raced over for a while, we're putting in a lot of initiatives to get the surface back, you know, make sure it's completely safe. I mean, the turf course is always maintained. J.D. Thomas, the track superintendent, and our new track superintendent who will be working with J.D., Ken Brown, have a great plan put together to get that turf course. You know, it's been maintained, so it's great. They do the traditional burn and then all the nutrients on it. And then a lot of testing. We've already been sending soil out to be tested for the materials that will go down on the main track. We're putting a 5-inch cushion back in on the main track, doing grading, surveying of it, you know, make sure everything is up to safety standards and then some, going above and beyond. And putting in a new tote board, new video board, things like that, upgrading the facility to all HD broadcasts. And a new paddock area. The paddock will be the same location, but doing a lot of work within the paddock, kind of leveling the grade there so water drains off of it, doing some really nice landscaping to the middle of the paddock. The barn area, getting, you know, a nice facelift as well. It's always been such a beautiful, serene place for horses to come and stay. And just, you know, general maintenance of fixing the barns back up, making sure that, you know, they're all completely repaired and in great condition, the dormitories for the people that stay on the backside. And, you know, it's just a constant work by a lot of people on a great team, understanding that we open with nothing but the safest facility. We're going to have, you know, people outside come in and test our surfaces, do complete, you know, testing of everything, make sure it's even as can be, the cushion's what it needs to be. We'll also bring in horsemen before we open the gates for training to, you know, inspect the facility from their perspective. We'll have the NTRA giving us their checklist to, you know, for safety and accreditation, working with the Jockeys Guild as well to make sure, you know, we have everything in place for them, doing some upgrades to the jocks room, you know, just everything you could possibly think of to make sure our horses, our horsemen, our jockeys, and our patrons get the, you know, the safest facility and that we put on the safest product we can, you know, understanding things will always happen, but we want to be way ahead of, you know, preventing what we know we can.
Jill, let's turn our attention to the actual racing product. I know you and your new racing secretary, Allison DeLuca, have been working on a stake schedule and a condition book and all the things that are sort of the guts of the racing product. Can you preview for us what, you know, for as fans and bettors, what are we gonna see when racing returns to Colonial?
Well, racing returns August 8th, and we'll be doing a 3-day week, but with a 5 o'clock post, except for Labor Day, which will be a 1 o'clock post, so Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. You can expect that probably, you know, close to 80% of the racing will be on the turf course because we have such a great course to utilize, and that's what people come there primarily for. We have 10 different lanes that we can run on, so that protects it as well. So you'll probably see about 80% turf racing. It'll be a great opportunity for a lot of horsemen. You know, two-year-olds on the grass at that time are such a popular product to push out. So Allison's working on that condition book and getting a lot of great assist and help from our Virginia HBPA, from other horsemen as well, and on what that condition book will look like. We'll be giving away $500,000 a day in purse money. Then the stakes schedule will be a total of around $1.8 million, and of course the return of the Virginia Derby and the Virginia Oaks. That'll be August 31st, Labor Day weekend. We're really excited to have those two races back at Colonial. We actually worked with NYRA on some scheduling and some adjustments to that to work with, you know, other tracks in the Mid-Atlantic so that we can be complementary to our neighbors and help our horsemen out with, you know, how we push out our stake schedule, so we're not all kind of cannibalizing all the horse population that we'll all be pulling from. And so those races will be a mile and an eighth on August 31st with two supporting stakes on the turf course as well that night. A great Virginia bred stakes program to kick off opening weekend. So it's going to be a little bit of something for everybody, but obviously it's the turf course that is the centerpiece of racing at Colonial Downs. And the feedback that Allison and myself have got from horsemen all over the country about, you know, bringing horses there to want to run is incredible. Everybody very excited to be able to come back there. Of course, when you're giving away $500,000 in purses a day, that's always a great enticement. But the facility and the way it's run is another reason, you know, for people to want to bring their horses there.
Let's talk for just a second about that $500,000 a day. Putting that in context, that's going to make you guys, that's going to be the highest purses by far in the Mid-Atlantic region, and it's going to put you pretty close to par with Saratoga, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it gets us right up there with the top of that time slot during the summer of August, you know, 8th through September 7th, and Saratoga obviously having a fantastic meet and adding that meet, you know, going a little longer with the Saratoga meet. So, you know, the purse structure there is fantastic. It's, you know, Saratoga is just an amazing racing experience, as everybody knows. And then, of course, at the same time, you have Del Mar on the other coast going on with another very strong purse structure. Monmouth, fantastic structure as well. You know, everywhere there's a little something for everybody, and we all understand that we'll be, you know, having to compete for a smaller pool of horses. But, you know, with us, I think we have kind of a special niche there with the turf racing, especially during the summer sometimes when some of the other courses maybe, you know, have had a rough spring and a long spring and early summer. So I think, you know, it's we have an open door policy at Colonial Downs for horsemen to come and race. And, yeah, that purse structure is certainly an attraction. And then you have Kentucky Downs, which is a great model to follow as well. Corey Johnson and his team have done a phenomenal job there. So they'll be racing, I think, about 3 days during the last part of our meet as well. And their purse structure, as everybody knows, is just, phenomenal. So it's exciting, and it puts us right up there with the best. And that's where we aim to be, and looking forward to getting quality horses and horseman support and taking care of the horsemen that have, you know, been a part of Virginia racing and the Mid-Atlantic and supported it for so many years.
Well, sorry, I got a frog in my throat here. That seems like a good place to leave it. We are bumping up against a break here. But, Jill, I think everybody listening's got to be excited to be thinking about you know, that purse structure and the stake schedule you have, and just the return of racing to Colonial Downs. So I'm sure we're going to be talking down the road a piece, but we certainly wish you and your team good luck as you bring Colonial back to life.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, we look forward to, you know, being on your show more and having you all out at Colonial Downs and having everybody come join us for the reopening and the revitalization of horse racing in my great home state of Virginia.
Well, sounds good. We're all going to look forward to it. That was Jill Byrne, VP of Racing at Colonial Downs. We're up against a break still to come. Paul Espinosa from Charlestown, Derby Bill, Nick Hahn, lots still to do here on Off to the Races. We are coming right back.
And beyond, for over 20 years, Bonair Shell features a full line of automotive services. Check out bonairshell.com to see all that they can do for your car and your peace of mind. And now with their Fuel Rewards program, you can save at least 5 cents per gallon on every fill-up. Learn more at fuelrewards.com. So go see Scott or Keith at Bonair Shell, 8762 West Huguenot Road. Go to bonairshell.com or call them at 272-3232. That's 272-3232.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones, an agronomist with Virginia Green. That's a soil scientist. I'd like to show you how Virginia Green's local expertise can bring out the green in your lawn. But this is radio, so I can't. Instead, I'll sing you a song. Your lawn can be green, greenest green you ever did see. Pretty and lovely and free of weeds, particularly when watered regularly. Stop! Aeration time! Did I mention I'm a soil scientist? See how Virginia Green can bring out the best in your lawn at virginiagreenlawncare.com.
And now, the worst commercial ever.
Hi, I am Justin Galvin, retired athlete from your local ball team, so I know a thing or two about insuring a landscaping business. I trust the pros, commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive. Get customized insurance solutions that'll hit a grand slam home run for you. Are we done?
A totally mailed-in celebrity endorsement. Awful. Whereas commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive is anything but. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com to quote today. Insurance provided in service by Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. It's affiliated in third-party insurers.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC. Instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah, it's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
This Tuesday at 12:30, watch us talk sports during the ESPN Richmond 8 Sports Roundtable.
Live on our Facebook page.
We're talking about what's happening locally and answering your questions live.
On Facebook Live.
Every Tuesday at 12:30 on the ESPN Richmond Facebook page.
Welcome back, everybody. Off to the Races. Andrew, I'm getting a little echo here. I think we got it now. Off to the Races Radio, back at you here. My name's Frank Vespi. We're talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from all over the place. And again with the echo. All right, now we're better. Going to bring in our next guest here, the track announcer at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races, a man who knows what's going on at Charlestown, also makes the morning line just for fun. Paul Espinosa joins us. Paul, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you making a little bit of time on a Saturday morning. Makes for a long day for you since you guys race at night, huh?
Yeah, a little bit, but, you know, it's got to be up and at them, and certainly not a bad time of year. It's if you can't get a little juiced up this time of year with everything going on, whether it's horse racing, the Derby Trail, what we got going on in Charlestown, March Madness, the place has been buzzing here with the sports book and everything. It's been a lot of fun, and yeah, certainly a little juice will get you through the day.
Yeah, actually, a funny thing, I emailed with Eric Zimney, who's your boss, who's the VP of racing out there, yesterday, 2 days ago. I was in the car driving and listening to the sports doofuses on whatever station it was, and they said, okay, we're at Charlestown, and let's bring in the guy who runs the sports book here, Eric Zimney. I said, boy, that's a small world that even driving around, I'm catching up with Charlestown, so it's good to hear. But let's turn our attention to your meet so far this year, and one of the cool things that I attended there, and one of the neat things you guys did, it must have been fun for you, was you had a ceremony commemorating the 50th anniversary of the win by Barbara Jo Rubin. She was the first woman jockey to win a pari-mutuel race in the United States, and that happened right there at Charlestown. Talk about that event a little bit. That was, for me, as a guy who attended and had a chance to talk with Barbara Jo a little bit afterwards, it was really a cool experience. But what was it like from your end?
Yeah, and it was nice seeing you and Ted Black there, and I just felt like, for those that didn't get a chance to catch it, definitely look up your all's story that you put together on the Racing Biz that I thought really captured that really well. For me, as somebody that obviously I'm 29, so it's happened way before I was even born. It was a nice trip down memory lane and a history lesson that was again well deserved and well needed. You look at all the different riders that have come after her that she blazed the trail for, and to think about some of the great riders just here locally, Mitch Kuykendall, Lori Bourne, Laura Youngs, you name it, the list goes on, to all the way somebody like Julie Crone, and just thinking about the riders that we might not have ever seen if it hadn't been for Barbara Jo blazing that trail. And I did think that it was very cool that we were able to honor her that night, and had a nice turnout at the Jockey's Colony, her family and friends, and I think it got some well-deserved publicity around the country, and it really was a very cool night to be a part of, just honoring really a living legend who again just I know you guys kind of referenced it in the title of your story, but she was kind of I don't know if unassuming is the word, but she wasn't really doing it for the spotlight. She was doing it because that was the right thing to do. It was only right that that women should be allowed to ride in races, because she showed that she could handle her own there. I think she hit it about a 25% clip while she was racing. So she showed that certainly the girls could hold their own against the boys. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, she absolutely did, and you're right. She is sort of unassuming, and was very much, she was obvious. She was a pioneer. She was a trailblazer, but she didn't do it for any of that. She did it because, as she put it, that's what she wanted to do. She wanted to ride horses. It was all about riding horses, and if all these people are going to make a big stink about it, fine, but she just wanted to ride horses. So it was neat. It was really good that you guys were able to put on that sort of event. What's been your take overall? It seems like it's been, some interesting things going on so far during the meet at Charlestown. You had a couple of races with Moonlit Song, who is trying to get back to the top of the heap there among the distaff runners. Now, Late Night Powwow looks to be likely to be taking her show on the road probably for the rest of the season. So that might sort of open the door. But what's been your take overall sort of on the meet so far?
Yeah, it's been, I guess, really kind of since, the last stakes of 2018. You talk about the West Virginia Futurity and the Eleanor Casey Memorial and races like that. But, you kind of hit that January and February lull, where I know a lot of the top horses, obviously around the country and even locally, are going to get a little bit of a freshening. And so it was very nice to have Moonlit Song come back a couple of weeks ago. She's kind of stayed in pretty steady training, because she was obviously racing against Late Night Powwow down in the Will on the Move and the What a Summer Stakes down in Maryland. And I thought that her race two races ago was one of the best races of her career. When she came back, she chased a very sharp horse in Sister Aim, ran into some really sharp fractions. They went like 23, 45, and 3, and then she was able to hold off some decent horses in the stretch there. And she came back, and I don't know if she was feeling the effects of that that race, which was a little less than 3 weeks before, but she lost to a potential up-and-comer in Sia Mignana, who's certainly shown flashes of brilliance. So I'd say that, she's sort of been the biggest star that we've seen, here locally. But I think we are about to kind of ramp it up a little bit, looking forward to this week. And got a couple of overnight preps that we're going to have for a couple of races on Charlestown Classic Day, which obviously is just around the corner on April 20th. But we have the Russell Road overnight prep, which will be obviously for the Russell Road Stakes. Be going 7/8 and for the boys. And then there's a another prep for the Dance to Bristol that that also should be have a pretty decent field. There's some nice horses nominated for those races, and I feel like, again, from a local standpoint, look at horses right now that I think could definitely hold their own against some out of towners. And you look at Aaron's Tap and Run Into Love Ya, obviously the defending West Virginia Breeders Classic champion, and Aaron's Tap. Those two haven't faced off yet, but those two going 7/8 to me as the sort of like local racing nerd is something that I would just love to see, because they're two West Virginia breds that are really, really fast, and I think that, again, around two turns, it'd be interesting to see who could come into town to kind of uphold those, because they run not just Charlestown fast, they're just racehorse fast. So that's one of the things that they're both nominated for the overnight. I don't know that one or both are even pointing to it, but I know they've been working up a storm. Run Into Love Ya had a work the other day. I'm not sure if you caught this. He worked in 45 here at Charlestown, and and that just obviously doesn't happen. But he worked in 45-2 back on February 27th. He came back with another maintenance drill the other day, just in 49. But 45-4, you'd be hard pressed to find any in recent memory horses that can work that quick. So things are starting to kind of warm up as the weather warms up a little bit. And even though I say that, and there were snow flurries in the last race last night, so it's definitely a good time of year to be at Charlestown.
We're talking with Paul Espinosa from the track announcer at Charlestown. Just sort of thumbing through the nominations here. One name that kind of jumped out at me, it was Dalmore is nominated to the Russell Road Overnight Prep. He's a horse that is graded stakes placed. He's owned in part by Lou Tracing, and Luch has done very well at the Charlestown Classic. So I'm curious to see if he shows up with a horse or two in the Russell Road.
Yeah, I would definitely bet probably whatever you set the over under at, I'd probably take the over on horses that he runs that day, because I think that they certainly got a lot nominated, not only to that overnight, but also, I think they're going to be nominating a fair number whenever the nominations for the actual classic comes out. Obviously, the Russell Road, I imagine they'd have a decent presence in that. So, they certainly have shown an affinity for the racetrack here, those connections. And so I would expect them to support the day as best they can. And yeah, you look at a horse like Dalmore, who maybe looks like a horse that kind of need a cut back in distance. I know last time he kind of faded in the Essex, which was just the other day on March 16th down at Oak Lawn. Like I said, I'm not sure if he would make it up here for the prep itself, but I would think that certainly they'd be looking at the Russell Road and the Classic as a couple of spots for some of their horses. And another one in there that, hasn't been working here recently, but you got the two-time Classic champion Imperative that is there and really kind of looking to regain his form. It's crazy to think that he actually beat four horses in the Pegasus based on kind of how his recent form has looked, but that is indeed the case. And we know one thing for sure is that he loves it here at Charlestown. And so, again, it'd be nice to see him regain some form at some point, and the old 9-year-old still plugging along. And just four races ago, though, that race at Laurel where you ran behind Bonus Points and Saratoga Jack wasn't all that bad, and at least makes you think that there's still something left in the tank for the old guy.
Yeah, no, that was a pretty good effort, actually. I mean, there was nothing wrong with that. He had some traffic troubles. He ended up beat a length and a little. That was a perfectly fine effort. So, yeah, he's, as you said, he sure does love him some Charlestown. So it'll be fun to see if he comes back to Charlestown. Let's talk a little bit about a local horse who has made her name partially there and now is starting to make it all over the place, and that's Late Night Powwow. What is it like for the local folks to have a horse of kind of this caliber on the backside going to Laurel and winning the Fritchie, now possibly going down to Keeneland for the Madison?
Yeah, it's I tell you, it's just a very nice very nice kind of pick-me-up that, like we said, you know, it's been kind of the dog days of winter, if you will, here in January and February. Kind of tough to get through, but kind of having her, I think, really lifts the spirits, not just of the Javier Contreras barn, but I think of the track in general. And I know the other day I even saw, you know, Xavier Perez. He got a chance to work her down at that work in Laurel. And, you know, just the joy that he posted with being around her. I think that there's something about Late Night Powwow that has certainly transcended local, you know, local fast horse. You know, she is certainly a national commodity now. And I think that that really, obviously, you know, first, I guess she first kind of took to the scene in the Charleston Oaks, obviously, but then even in the Fritchie, you know, when she actually fended off a grade one winner, I think that that was sort of the moment when people were like, okay, this is a serious, serious horse. And, you know, you look around and kind of survey the division and who she might have to go against. Obviously, I'd say that right now Marley's Freedom for Bob Baffert probably at the top of the list of Philly female turf sprinters. But then after that, it's like, you know, it is kind of tough to find. You know, Shamrock Rose just ran in the Azari the other day, so, you know, you figured that she's probably not going to be cutting back for the Madison. You could legitimately make a case that Late Night Powwow certainly in the top five and maybe even in the top two of, you know, female turf sprinters, or rather female sprinters on dirt. And it's just crazy to think that that's right here with us at Charlestown. And, you know, certainly it's something that I think a lot of folks take a lot of pride in. And I'll tell you one thing. I know, obviously, you know, it'd be a great environment down at Keeneland, but there are a few places I'd rather be than kind of in the simulcast area down at Charlestown, because it's going to be raucous. It's going to be a sight to be seen on Madison Day with everyone trying to bring her home from a few hundred miles away.
Yeah, no, and what I think, to me, one of the great parts of the story is, you know, it was Javier Contreras' horse. He sold her to Breeze Easy LLC, but they have, you know, they've committed that it's going to be Javier training the horse, so stays at Charlestown, stays with the local trainer, and he's continued to use Freddie Peltroche on her. And one of the things I thought was really cool was in the Fritchie, which you alluded to, was a terrific race where she held off the grade one winner. The decisive thing that happened in that race was Peltroche moved at the right moment and got through along the inside. And that trip, you know, was probably the difference between winning and losing that race. So it was neat to see, you know, the local jockey getting a chance to ride the big horse in a big spot and come up with the winning ride.
It really is. I mean, you kind of flash back to, you know, one of the things that comes to my mind is, you know, Stuart Elliott. And I know Tom Durkin's call in the Derby of, you know, journeyman jockey Stuart Elliott. And here he is, you know, aboard one of the, you know, the plunkiest, you know, obviously very fast horses that, you know, of recent memory in Smarty Jones. And it's very nice in this day and age when, you know, you could make a call and I'm sure, you know, you could get some pretty decent riders on late night powwow at this point. And yes, to stick with a guy who, you know, hasn't been on many horses like Late Night Powwow, he shows that again, he definitely can hold his own. And I'm with you 100%. I thought it was a very, very well-timed and needed ride there on Late Night Powwow. And again, I think whenever you're going up against horses of this caliber, there's very little margin for error, and I think that Freddie has shown that he's capable of living up to that. And you know, look forward to seeing. It really, there might not be many dry eyes in the house if she makes it all the way to, like, you know, a grade one winner circle like the Madison. And again, just thinking about the small town connections and the feels that would come along with that. I think that, again, she definitely has uplifted our racing community and has given us somebody to really hope for and latch on to and feel like they are our own. And we're going to be rooting like heck for them here coming on the 6th.
Well, that's a good spot to leave it. We're certainly looking forward to seeing her running again. And Paul, we're going to be talking with you down the road a piece as we get a little closer to Charlestown Classic Day. Thanks so much for joining us here.
You got it, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
That was Paul Espinosa, Charlestown track announcer. We're up against our final break. Afterwards, going to bring in Derby Bill and Nick Hahn. You're listening to Off to the Races Radio. We're coming right back.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, what have we got here? Save money on car insurance when you bundle home, auto with Breeze. Save money on car insurance. You ready? Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive. That sounded pretty good, don't you think? I could do it one more time, but I think that's, what do you say, nailed it, right? Nailed it.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Ulta Beauty's 21 Days of Beauty is 21 days of amazing finds. It's 21 days to discover your new must-haves and can't live withouts. 21 days of daily beauty steals at 50% off, like the Anastasia Brow Wiz and the Tarte Toasted Eyeshadow Palette. Plus, hundreds of new releases from the hottest brands, aka 21 days of I want that one, and that one, and that one. Hurry in now through April 6th. What will you discover? Ulta Beauty, the possibilities are beautiful.
Hey O's fans, Birdland memberships are a brand new approach to take your relationship with the Orioles to a whole new level. Members save an average of 15% off individual ticket prices, plus receive priority access to the hottest ticket in Birdland, Orioles opening day. Start planning your summer by becoming an Orioles Birdland member. Learn more about each membership level, its benefits, and rewards at orioles.com/membership.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why can't more things in life be customizable? Why can't I buy Neapolitan ice cream without strawberry? Can't I just have the chocolate and vanilla flavors I'm comfortable with? Do people even want a fruity ice cream flavor sandwiched right between the classics?
Go to libertymutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. 528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/terms for more information.
Wes worked hard to make his dream of playing in the NHL come true. Every day, he'd be out playing street hockey, constantly. Townspeople would drive by and shout,
"Get out of the street!"
But Wes never gave up. Well, until one day when someone yelled,
"Get in the car, you're gonna make us all late to work!"
Because Wes was a 43-year-old accountant and he commuted with that guy downtown. So Wes never played in the NHL. But he did hear how GEICO, proud partner of the NHL, could save him money on car insurance. So he switched and saved and made his other dream come true.
Welcome back, everybody. Off to the Races Radio. Final segment is at hand, and we save it as we always do for our cleanup hitters here, Derby Bill Watson and Nick Hahn. Derby Bill, welcome.
Yes, welcome. Happy Louisiana Derby Day. Just got a text from Jake DeLome trying to help me with my picks, so we'll move forward.
That's what we like to hear. Nick Hahn, how's it going?
I'm doing well, trying to bridge basketball and horse racing at the same time, but I'm not getting texts from Super Bowl playing quarterbacks this morning.
Yeah, well, not everybody is Derby Bill. All right, guys, let's dive in here. We got last weekend we had an interesting Bob Baffert goes 0-2 with big favorites in the two divisions of the Rebel. Let's start with the fairground at the fairgrounds with the Louisiana Derby here, a grade $2 million on the line, mile and an eighth. This is a one of the key Kentucky Derby preps, and War of Will is the big favorite here. Mark Cassie, trainee, 6-5 morning line, 3-for-3 running on dirt, has won the two prior races prior to the Louisiana Derby, the LeCompte and the Risen Star. Bill, War of Will?
Yeah, Mark Cassie has never won the Louisiana Derby, so that's one blemish. Like we used Mr. Trombetta's 0-for-19 in stakes races a couple weeks ago. So these stats I like to use in these big races here. War of Will definitely showed up in the first two preps, and the only horse that's won the hat trick winning all three prep races at the fairgrounds was a horse called Pusiasi Pegasus, and he did pretty good. But I'm going to try to beat him with Nick's horse, Cowboy House. This is a monster closer here. Should be full of crawdads today, coming late with plenty of energy here. This is a Derby horse. that just needs to get unleashed and get out of the gate better. So I'm going with Cowboy House with some value at 9-2 and a horse called Spinoff at 8-1. Very attractive. Todd Pletcher's having a tough time here deciding how to get Derby horses, but he's won this race four times. Todd Pletcher's won the Louisiana Derby, so I'm using Spinoff also for some value at 8-1.
Interesting stat there on Mark Cassie, 0 for the Louisiana Derby. But yeah, Spinoff, interesting horse, just made his first start of the year just a few weeks back and won by 11 lengths at Tampa Bay. Nick, so it sounds like Country House is your horse, according to Bill.
Yeah, Country, not Cowboy House. I don't know why Bill likes Cowboys so much. But yeah, Country House. You know, one of the interesting things that we're seeing, and I think the events out in California have really enhanced this a lot. We're seeing a lot of rematches, and we're going to see one here again today of the Risen Star with Country House and War of Will. War of Will, I think, is the most proven horse. I've mentioned that several times. He's done the most in 2019. He's atop of the Derby point standings. I think that's still the case. So I'm going to go with War of Will here. I like Country House as well. I think Bill is right on it with those two horses. But we're going to see a lot of rematches. We're going to, going back to the races last week, Omaha and Game Winner will probably hook back up in the Santa Anita Derby should they run it there. Long Range, Toddy, and Improbable probably hook up again in the Arkansas Derby where they just raced last week in the Rebel Stakes, in the division of the Rebel Stakes at Tucson Park. So we're going to be, I think there'll be some separation between, almost like what you see in the NCAA tournament. There's going to be, you know, the one and two seeds have kind of separated themselves from everybody else. I think that's going to be reflected in the Derby picture as well. We're going to see a group of four or five horses that will stand out significantly, I think.
Well, it's interesting you mention rematches because, as you said, we've got War of Will and Country House. They were 1-2 in the Risen Star. Also, the third place horse from the Risen Star, Royland, is here, as well as War of Will won the LeCompte, and the runner-up from the LeCompte shows up here as well. That's Hog Creek Hustle, which is a just god-awful name, but nothing we can do about that. So definitely some horses that have seen each other. Be interesting to see if anybody can turn the table on War of Will, but it sounds like you guys are saying it's Country House, it's War of Will, or it's Spinoff to get the money. Those three seem to dominate your thoughts here. Want to talk for a moment about the, if you guys are up for it, the Fairgrounds Oaks. That's the 12th race. That's a Grade 2 for 3-year-old fillies, mile and 16th. These fillies are going to be headed, presumably, at least the better ones, towards the Kentucky Oaks. Nick, you have thoughts on that event?
Well, I was heavy on the chalk last week, and it didn't turn out very well for me. But Saraganti Empress, certainly worthy of that 6-5 morning line at the Fairgrounds. Good conditions at the Fairgrounds, just some haze, no weather in the forecast. For this 3-year-old race for the fillies. I'm going to drift, though, a little bit here and try and find a little bit more price here and go with Leora. Wayne Catalano horse just seems to be running best late. I think might benefit by the distance in this race. So try and find a horse that could maybe hang with Saraganti Empress, although on paper it shouldn't be much of a match, but that's why they run the races. We learned that lesson hard last week.
All right, I've just got informed we only have 2 minutes left. I didn't realize we're quite so late. So very quickly, Bill, Mucho Gusto in the Sunland Derby. Can Bob Baffert get back on the winning path?
Yeah, Bob's a little bit desperate in the sending his horse to the Sunland Derby here. It's a very weak field. He's 8-5, not a lot of value in the Gusto. So today's the day to put your action in the pick four at the Fairgrounds and the national TV race. And Sunland, just hand Bob Baffert the check.
Is that right, Nick?
I think so. You had Jill Byrne on the show earlier, and she mentioned Mind That Bird. Mind That Bird came out of this race and then completely shook up the horse racing world in the Kentucky Derby. Mucho Gusto, though, best prepared here and finding a place to race outside of Santa Anita. So, yeah, I agree with Bill here. Another Twist of Fate is another one to use here. Second choice.
All right, guys. Sorry to rush you off here. Time got away from me a little bit. We are at the end of our program. I want to say thanks to Derby Bill and Nick Hahn for joining us this Saturday morning. I want to also thank Jill Byrne, who was on earlier, and Paul Espinoza. Thanks to Andrew Wallace, our producer. Thanks to all our listeners. Keep up with racing all week long on theracingbiz.com. You can tune in next week at the same time to hear the independent voice from Mid-Atlantic Racing and Breeding. My name is Frank Vespi, and this has been Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. Have a great week, everybody.
Great beds, no bull. That is the original Mattress Factory difference. Our mattresses are designed with the highest quality materials and are hand-built in our local employee-owned factories. All for hundreds less than mainstream mattress brands. Sound too good to be true? Stop by your local factory for a personal tour and to see how your favorite bed is made from beginning to end. Or you can check out any of our stores or visit originalmattress.com to find out what the OMF difference is all about.